The story of the death of Vashti at the beginning of the Megillah begins with a pasuk Bayom Hashvi Kitov Lev Hamelch Bayoyin in the first parak of Esther. And the Chazal Darshan on that pasuk Bayom Hashvi Sheshabbos Hoya. And when it says Kitov Lev Hamelch, of course Melech is very often an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tov Lev Hamelech Malko shel olam b'yayin hu yayin shel mitzvahs kiddush. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph says on the pasuk Sheva Hanaros that Esther had seven naros. Omar Rav Hashayisa Mona Behem Yimei Hashabbos. That by working these girls every other day, a different girl, she was able to count which day was Shabbos. So Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz in his Yaros Dvash says the following: Mama od Rabba mitzvah Shabbos ad shevashti amalka hergisha bo v'yoda she'im yu Yisrael mesham Shabbos yer yom pkida. The greatness of Shabbos was understood on a certain level even by Vashti. And she knew that if the Jewish people would observe the Shabbos, then they would have a day, the day would come and they would be free. They would achieve their redemption by observing the Shabbos. Lachain, since of course this would be antithetical to Vashti's Hashkafa, Hichricha Livnos Yisrael Lasos Molachtam B'Yom HaShabbos. She would force the Jewish girls to do their melacha on Shabbos. Obviously compelling them at the pain of death, and therefore they would not be able to observe the Shabbos. V'af Esther Malka, hoyu lo sheva naros v'yomru chazal, shem monso bahen shivas yimei shavua. V'tomu kol ha-mefarshim, Esther ha-neviyah, lo hoyse yodas eze yom Shabbos. Could it be that Esther, the great prophetess, would not know which day was Shabbos? At shehutzucha l'simon anaros, she would have the seven girls work so that she knew which girl would get the seventh day, and that would be Shabbos. Says the Aros Dvash, aval hu atam ki Esther hoya masteres amo umaladeta. Amo Moladita Labal Yedu Shehi Yehudis. Esther had to do everything clandestinely to keep it secret that she was Jewish. V'yomru Chazal, B'teila B'noshim Mevili De Zima. The Gemara Ksuba says that it's not good for a woman to be idle. Boredom brings Zima, an immoral kind of lifestyle. V'im Kain, B'li Safek, based on that Gemara, Rav Yonasan conclude shekol yimei amase hoisa Esther osekes b'malachto kasher ke'isha chachmas leiv. She understood that she would have to dedicate herself to work, and that she did for 6 out of 7 days. U'b'Shabbos shomer Shabbos chas shom michal u'b'malacha. And certainly when the Shabbos came, she would observe it. Im kein hoyu anaros margishos she shomer Shabbos, since they saw that she worked every other day of the work week, and then she rested on Shabbos, Yedu Kihi Mibnos Yisrael. They would certainly come to the conclusion that she was a Jewish girl, and this was not what Esther wanted to happen. Lachain Harima. Therefore, she had this very sharp trick. And how did she use her cunning in the right way? Chilka anaros kol achas liyom miyuchad v'nei ha-shavua. She divided up the seven girls. Each one would work on a particular day. Im kein hanaros ha-mashosos b'chol, those girls who worked during the week, hein lo ayu etzla b'Shabbos, they were not there on Shabbos to notice that, woo, all of a sudden on the seventh day she doesn't work. Chashvu, they assume, k'mo shosekes kol yimei shavua b'malacha, kach he osekes b'Shabbos. They assume that she would work on Shabbos as well. Ula hepach hanara mishareses b'Shabbos v'roa sheyena osekes b'melocha. Af hi tachshov shegam b'yimei chol eina osekes. That girl who was designated to work on Shabbos would think that if Esther is not working today, it's probably because she doesn't work on any day. V'im kein, hoyezeshi yehudis nela mikol naros hamasharos salamalk. Then, in this way, she would be able to keep the secret that she was not a Shabbos observer. Now, on this topic of Shabbos and its relationship to Chag HaPurim and the story of the Megillah, we find that Vashti, and we have mentioned it before, in order to make sure the Jewish people would not have the protective observance of Shabbos, she forced the Jewish girls to violate the Shabbos. And we'll soon see that Mida Kenegin Mida, Vashti was actually put to death on Shabbos. But before we get to that, just to take a look for a moment at the story of Vashti's refusal to comply with the demand of Achashverosh to show up in that way. Vatma'en Hamalka Vashti. She refused to show up. And the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Yud Beis and Yud Beis, why is that so? Why did she actually refuse? This is a pretty famous statement in the Gemara. After all, Pritzusa Havoi, she was a Prutza according to this Gemara. The Omar Mar Shneim Lidvar Aver Niskavnu, that she also had in mind a Dvar Avera. Is my time alo asoy? So why didn't she show up? Why would it bother her if she was a prutza to show up the way the king had demanded? Omar Yosi Bar Chanina Malami Sheparcha Batzaras and Bemasnisa Tana Bo Gavriel V'Asal Azonov. So she had some sort of a tale, and this was all part of the divine plan, and she wasn't able, she was too humiliated to show up publicly. Now, on that same daf, the Gemara tells us on the Pasuk Vayomer HaMelech HaChachamim, that after Vashti refused to comply with the king's demand, the king was confused as to what to do with her. How should she be punished? So he turns to the Chachamim, Man Chacham Rabbonot. It says in the pasuk, Yodei Aitim, Sheyodim Li'aber Shonim L'Kvah Chadashim. And obviously, Achashverosh had a respect for the Chachamim, and he turned to them to judge, to pass down a verdict as to what would be the destiny of Vashti, who defied the king's command. Amalahu. And Achashverosh turns to the Chachamim and he says, Dainu Ali. Amru, so they said amongst themselves, Hechi Navid, what do we do? Neimale Katla, if we tell him to put it to death, Islamachar Pasuk Lechamre Uboilon Minon. So what should we do if tomorrow, you know, when he finally when the drunkenness state wears off and he comes back to his wits and where's his Vashti and she's been put to death because of the Chachamim, he's going to come to us and say, why did you give me that advice? Namele Shavka, if on the other hand we tell the king, leave her be, Kol Mezalzel B'Malchusa, this will be seen as a zilzal in the malchus, the kingship, and the sovereign rule of Achashverosh. How can you let her off the hook for such a terrible avera, for a violation of the king? She was rebellious against the king. So they were in a tight spot. They didn't know exactly where, you know, diplomatically what they should respond to Achashverosh. Amrulo, so they said to Achashverosh in return, in response, V'yom shekhar beis ha-migdash, golidim e'artzenu nitla eitz ha-bimenu, v'yenon ha-yodim ladun dini nefashos. After the Churban HaBayis, and we went into exile, the wisdom and the counsel has been taken away from us, and we no longer can make a decision on a capital case. Zil gabi amon u'mo'av. Why not? This was the recommendation of the Chachomim. Go to Amon u'mo'av. D'yasve biduchtayu. They're sitting pretty in a very secure way. They didn't have the experience of Golus that we have. And they'll be able to advise you. Their wise men will tell you exactly what to do. V'tayma omrule dichsiv. And this statement of the Chachamim to Achashverosh that Amon u'Moav are secure and they're in a state of serenity. You know, they're serene. They're not existing in the state of Golus, Tichsiv, Shanan, Moav, because the Torah describes, the Tanakh describes Moav as Shanan, in a state of calm, of peace, Shokhetu. And the Pasuk goes on to say that they weren't in Golus, they didn't Lo Torah Mi Kli Al Kli, Begolo Holach Al Kain, Omad Tamo, Bow, and therefore they still have the ability to make these decisions in a wise, serene way, and utilize their wisdom to give you a response. Now it's very interesting then that it's Amon u'Moav who are coming in to play a role here at this critical point in the life of Vashti. And the curious mind would like to know why. What's the connection here between Amon u'Moav and the fact they didn't have to go into exile? They lived in serenity and in calm in their land. And the fact that the Melech Achashverosh was looking for a final judgment regarding the case of Vashti. So once again, we'd like to turn to Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz in his Yaros Dvash. Before we were looking at Drush number Lamed Dalid, Drush number Beis on Amud Lamed Dalid. Here we can fast forward to Drush number Ches, and he's talking about a particular statement that indicates that Chazal, the Chachamim, the Rabbanon at that time, to whom Achashverosh had turned for an Eitzah, Paschu Batzolat Chila, that they had a logical reason to spare Vashti. In other words, they had some sort of either a rational or maybe an emotional interest in letting her off the hook, according to that particular approach. And this is based on the Sugya in Yevamis of Amonis u'Moavis. You'll recall, of course, that at the time of David HaMelech, or shall we say even much earlier than that, at the time of Boaz, one of his ancestors, there was an issue as to whether or not Boaz could marry Rus. And it all boiled down to the question as to whether or not the lady folk of Amon and Moav were guilty of a crime towards Israel of not having compassion on the people of Israel. And the Gemara establishes Amoni velo Amonis. The Gemara wants to suggest that perhaps the Amonis would not be guilty. Because it's not the way of a woman to come forward to give food. The Gemara is puzzled by that. Even if a woman doesn't go out to bring food and supplies to a man, why didn't they do it for the women of Israel? V'omru, and the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim called Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, which means that the mid of tznius of a woman, Bas Melech Pnima, applies to such an extent that afil nashim lekras nashim ein lehem lekadim, that there was no guilt on the part of the women, even as far as the question why they didn't come out to give supplies and food to the women folk. And we see the significance and the extreme measure of tznius. And therefore, in the case of Vashti, imagine the king asking Vashti, demanding that she show herself naked in front of men. And the Midrash says, with regard to the Gemara that we saw in Yevamos of Amoni v'lo Amonis, that Bishvil Tznius Neshei Moav V'Amon, Bilam would later on give the Eitzah to Balak that he should send the girls out to entice the men, Bnei Yisrael, and Mianu Bnos Moav. And yet the daughters of Moav, because of this Midah of Tznius, refused to comply with this Eitzah of Bilam Arasha. And Lekach, Hutzuchu Lahafgir Bnos Midjan. As a result, it was only the daughters of Midjan who went out to these acts of immorality to entice the men of Israel. And Zahu, what was the reward for the tznius of Bnos Moav? V'lo golu barosh golem, and they were not sent into exile to siv, the same pasuk we saw before, Shanan Moav, etc. V'zek havanosam, and this could explain why the Chachamim wanted to be poseh batzolat tchila. Heim bikshu lahalitz biad Vashti. They wanted to give a recommendation in a positive way regarding the case of Vashti. When they said, zil legabi amanu moav, tiyoshvim shanan, shaket v'shanan. In other words, go take a look, Achashverosh, at Amon and Moav that are sitting in calm and security. And why? Hakol b'schus tznius nashim. And maybe then you'll understand, you'll appreciate the significance of tznius of women. Im kein hadinim Vashti. What you did by mandating Vashti to show up naked, that's terrible. And the law is on the side of Vashti. Shlo biksho lasos pritzus kazu. If she remained then in our palace and refused to show up, it's because of the significance of tznius. And you'll see it once you recognize the situation of Amon u'Moav and why they were blessed and protected by Hashem as far as the exile is concerned, bizchus the nashim the bnos Moav of tznius. Says Rabbi Yonasan Ivashitz, Mizen Nilmad, if this is correct, we should derive the conclusion, Kama Yesh Le'ish Alios Tznua, that because of the Midah of Tznius, the Bnos of the Bnos Moav, that's why the people later on were not sent into Golos. They were spared all the anguish and suffering. Says Rabbi Yonasan, if you take a look at this Gemara, that Bo Gavriel V'Asala Zonov, if in fact she, Vashti, was willing to go out there and do what Achashverosh was asking, why would the Chachamim try to defend her? As a matter of fact, it's only because Gavriel came, the Malach, and made a Zonov, that's why she wouldn't show up. So there's a stira here. On the one hand, the way says the Aris Dvash that we understand Chazal is that she was being judged favorably by the Chachamim because lo bikshalasos pritzus. She doesn't want to do this act of preaches. On the other hand, the Chazal say that it was only because of Gavriel Zonov that she refused to show up. She was just afraid of being humiliated. So the Aris Dash wants to reconcile these two and says, Haratzon, the intention here is, what did Gavriel do, and what does the Zanav really symbolize? Ki nasan bikirba lios tznua. This word Zanav is not to be taken literally, but rather it's a code word for something that the Malach, in a sense, penetrated into our heart. And that is tznius. The zonav represents her inhibition, her tznius, and that's what brought about her decision to refuse to comply with Achshverosh's will. How does the word zonav serve as such a code word for tznius? See, Aris Dvash quotes a medrash in Breishis Rabba, Lekach Nivres, why was the woman created min atzela? What's the significance of tzela? So Chazal say, matzela mechusa v'tomun. That the tzela is a part of the body that is covered, it's concealed. And afa isha, a woman is created from the tzela, tzicha liya tznua. She has to be called kvoda basmel pnima. She has to remain inside the private area, not come public. She shouldn't be parading the streets in the public marketplaces. But that's only according to one opinion, that woman was created separately. Man was created first, and woman was created from the tzela. But Chazal have another opinion, and the Gemara in Ksubas goes into this, Alaman di Omer du partsufim nivru, that male and female were created together in one body, and there were two faces attached to one body, like Siamese twins. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them into two, and it became Zachar Nekeva. But that opinion doesn't have a woman created from a tzela. The tzela was only the place where they were separated. Now, Chazal, in the Gemara in Brachos, have another word for tzela. The tzela from which a woman was created, according to that man, is a zonav. And how do we know this? The Gemara in Brachos says, Chad Omar Partzuv, Chad Omar Zonav. One man, the Omar, says that there was one body with two partzuv, the other one says no. She was created from a zonav of Ish. And Zonav here, in the Gemara's language, is a reference to Tzela. Once we've established that, we swing back to the Gemara in Megillah about Gavriel. Zo Gavriel Nosan Beliba Zonav. We can take the word Zonav in an abstract way, not physically, but rather the inspiration of the concept of a zonav of the tzela. The tzela, as we said before, is symbolic of mechusa v'tomun she'isha tzuyach liyos tznua. This is what Gavriel penetrated that idea into her heart. And tzricha liyos tznua, she understood that she has to be tznua, Mibli lalechas arum li ein kol, and not to expose herself publicly. So it's interesting then that in the final episode of Vashti's life, there are two approaches as to whether or not she was a prutza or a tznua. But what I'd like to do is swing back to the fact that she was killed on Shabbos, which would sound like she was guilty and she was punished severely by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she died on Shabbos. That doesn't put Vashti in a very good light. The fact that Vashti caused and forced the Benos Yisrael to violate the Shabbos, therefore she died on Shabbos. So, you know, if you're putting either thumbs up or thumbs down as far as Vashti is concerned, the the majority of Chazal would seem to tip the scale against Vashti. And perhaps we would rather say that we're not pro Vashti. We're anti. We're in the anti camp. But there's a very interesting psikta in the Psikta Abbasi that tells a story. It's quite famous and well known. I mentioned it to a few people. They immediately knew the story. They recognized it. Omer Abosenu, Maisa Hoya B'Yisrael Echad, a story of a Jew, Shehoisa Lo Para Achas Choreshes. He was an owner of a cow that was able to plow. Usually it's the ox that plows. But Nismata Yodo, he became poor. He had no choice but Umachrolo. He had to sell her Legoy Echad, to one guy. Kevin She Lokha Goy Vicharsha. The guy took the animal and plowed his field with this animal. Sheshes Yom Shalchol, everything went well from Sunday to Friday, but Peshavis Hotzio Shetachrosh Imo, when he took the cow out for plowing purposes, Rav Tzolo Tachasol, she remained under the yoke. She refused to move, to budge, and to plow the field. Hayaholech Umakaosa. So this guy, the new proud owner of the animal, starts beating the animal. And she refused to move despite all the makos. Kamen Sharoa came. At this point, the guy is totally frustrated. He doesn't see a way out. He's thrown in the towel. Holach v'yomer liyosi yisrael shemachol. He went back to the Jew, sold the cow to him. Bo tol parascha. Take your para back. Maybe she's some sort of a sick cow that you sold me. Because no matter how much I beat her up, she refuses to move. Immediately, the Jew who sold the cow understood. Also, Yisrael Haven Lomish Bishvil Shal Shabbos, Vaisali Mudol Anuch Bishabbos, she was trained that Shabbos is not a day to work. Amalai. So the owner, the seller, the Jewish seller said to the guy, the buyer, Bo Vani Ma'amida, come with me and I'll make sure that this cow will work on Shabbos. Kevin Shabba, when he came to the cow, Amar Lo Biyazna, the Jew bends over, whispers into the ear of the cow and says, Para, my beloved cow, At Yodas, Kishayis Bershusi, as long as you're in my Rishus, Ayis Choreshes, you may chol, Ubishabas Ayis Nacha. But Akshav, Shegarmu Afanosai, Viat Bershus Goy, now as a result of my sins, I was compelled to sell you, and now you're in the ownership, you're possessed by the Goy, Vakoshav, you may I ask you, Imdi Vecharshi. Go ahead and plow. Miad omdo v'charsha. Now, the guy thought that there's some sort of kishuv going on over here. Omar lo. Oso agoy, ani mevaksha tol paroscha. Please, take back your para, because ad akshav ani ba. He says, how can it be that whatever I did was not successful? I wasn't able to get this cow to stand up and work. And you're the one who whispered something into her ear. What did you whisper into her ear? And the Jew explained that I whispered into her ear nothing more than words of pius, and I said to her, look. And I didn't say words of kishuf. I said to her, look, you know, this is your new status now. You've been sold to a guy. You have to work for the guy, even on Shabbos. And she accepted it and stood up. And charsha. Because again, the law is that a cow in the possession of a Jew rests on Shabbos. That's called Shvisas Bam. But there's no such law with regard to a cow. Once she becomes the owner, she becomes possessed and is acquired by a guy. Now, at this point, when the guy realized that this is not a matter of kishuv, but that the cow understood that until now she, the cow, was a Sabbath observer, now she was no longer a Sabbath observer, Omar. Nisyari Agoy, the guy was overwhelmed by a fear, and here this fear is fear of God. And he declares, Ma, he makes a kavachomer in Para, Shein lo lo sicha velo dea, Hikira as Bora, and yet she recognized her creator. And on the seventh day, she rested. Ani, how much more so? Ani, she itzruni yotzri bedmuso, I am created in the image of God. That much the guy understood. Vinosan, be das, and God has endowed me with intelligence. Is any holy humakir as bori? Should I not recognize my creator and observe the Shabbos? Umiyad bovin is gayer. He became a convert, lomad vizachal Torah. He became quite a great scholar as a ger. Vayukorino, so they gave him a name, Yochanan ben Torosa. Yochanan, the son of a cow. What does that mean, of a cow? That this cow, because again, a guy is not related to his parents, his biological parents, but this cow is what brought him to become a ger. V'yad achshav, and the Psikta goes on to tell us that even to this day, Rabbi Seinu Omer, there are certain halachas that are said in the name of this Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, he really became quite a scholar, part of the Chachmei HaMesorah. In Tema, Atashal Yedei Para Niskarev Adam Echel Kanfe Ashchina. And if you'll ask Im Tamia, if you'll ask the question, how can it be that such a great scholar became close to the Shechina because of a Para? Hare Al Yedei Para Hayatarosim Shal Yisrael Mashkor Binyu Zos Chukas HaTorah. A cow can accomplish a great deal. So the cow is responsible in the parasha of Paraduma for the purity of all of Israel. Now this Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa, there are different versions as to exactly what his name was, but he appears in the first parak of Yuma in the Yerushalmi, and he appears also in Tosfos Yeshanim in the Psikta, and he was Mizgayer al Yedei Para. Again, the Girsa is Rabbi Yehuda ben Torosa, we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa. But the Ritva quotes the Yerushalmi in Yuma that he was called ben Torosa Shemochar because he was sold, this Paro was sold to an Akum, Velo Rotzala Lachrosh B'Shabbos Ad Shalochash B'Yozna. And regarding this Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa, the Seder Adoris points out that Pam Achas Bolif Ne Rabbi Akiva, on one particular occasion, he, this Rabbi Yochanan, was in the presence of Rabbi Akiva, Amalo Amod Vikaraba Torah, stand up and read the Pasha in the Torah, Amalo Lo Avarti Ala Pasha Vishibhu. I haven't yet gotten a chance to study the Pasha. Edim Shabachim. He also appears in another context, that Rabbi Akiva believed in Bar Kokhba as the Mashiach, and he, this Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa, said, Akiva, Yalu Asav Bilchayayich V'adayin Enu Ba. He has not yet come. And the Seder Ador says about this Rabbi Yochanan that Nireh Shalhaya Kadmon, he was a very early Tana, and the Tosefta, the Ed Menachos, says about him that he was the one who made the famous statement, Mipnei Mach, Chor Vashilo, Mipnei Bizoyon Kodshim. So we have quite a number of statements. The Gemara in Yuma and Aftes tells us, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Torosa, that Shilo was Nechrav, after so many centuries, almost four centuries, because of two things, Gili Arayis and Bizoyon Kodshim. And that's where the Tosfos Yeshanim says, and Yuma Daf Tes, that this Rabbi Yochanan ben Ben Turasa was the ger who came to Geirus because of the para that he purchased when he was a guy before his Geirus. Although, again, there's a little confusion whether his name is Rabbi Yochanan or his name is Rabbi Yehuda, but he was Ben Turasa. There's an entire statement in the Medrash about this Rabbi Yochanan Ben Turasa, who had a relationship with Rabbi Akiva. He came in from Rabbi Akiva. They were Meshabeachim. He told Rabbi Akiva that Mashiach hasn't come yet, when Rabbi Akiva actually was convinced the Mashiach had already come. Fine. Now, what we'd like to add is the insight of the Rama Panau, who wrote a book called Gilgal Neshamas, and he, based on some sort of Ruach HaKodesh, understood how various neshamas that needed tikkun because the averis that they did, crimes that they perpetrated during their lifetime, came, were reincarnated in a different soul, or often in a, even in an animal. And he writes about Vashti, Shenis Galgala Bahi Para, Har Gilgul, and her tikkun was that she would become this para, this cow, Shemach Roso Achosid. She was interested as a cow, or at least Hanashama in the cow, to observe the Shabbos as a tikkun for what she had done, because Vashti Haisa Rotsa Shiyasu Benos Yisrael Malacha B'Shabbos, she forced the Jewish girls to violate the Shabbos. Now she, as a cow, would rectify that sin by observing the Shabbos, but the Chassid sold her. According to the presentation here, the Gilgulei Neshamos, Kedei Shelo LaHanosa, he didn't want her to have the benefit of observing the Shabbos. So as soon as he realized, he recognized that this para was a Gilgul of Vashti, he didn't want to forgive Vashti to have this rectification, this tikkun through the Gilgul Neshama. And therefore, Lochash B'Ozna, and he whispered into the ears of this cow that now the cow has been sold to a guy and she has to work on Shabbos. And tough luck, Vashti, you're not going to have a tikkun. In any event, as a result of this whole story, the guy who purchased the cow, and at least initially the cow refused to work on Shabbos, he was Mizgayer al Yedezeh. And he too, this Ger, who was a guy that purchased the cow, and became this great Tana Rav Yochanan, who Achashverosh, he was a Gilgul of Achashverosh, V'oz Hoya Tikuna. And the Tikun of Achashverosh, with his, you know, his rebellion against the Jews, and his animosity against the Jews, his desire to block the building of the Beis HaMikdash, to see to it that the Jews would violate the Shabbos, they wouldn't have the ability to bring about their Mashiach. And he, Achashverosh himself, would come back as a Gilgul Neshama in the form of this Ger of Rabbi Yochanan, who is going to straighten out Rabbi Akiva on the issue of Mashiach. And by the way, the Chachmei HaEmes have something to say about why the Jewish nation, and this is an Agadah to Megillah Daf Ches, why they refused to accept Purim as a day of Isur Melacha. And the Gemara says, Hesped betainis kibu alayu, they accepted these days of Purim as days of Isur Hesped betainis, but Melacha lo kibu alayu, they did not accept these days as a yontiv of Isur Melacha. And the Gemara is medayikin from the fact that Ksiv, at the beginning, Meikar Ksiv, Simchu Mishtav Yontif, you know, the Igeris was sent out that the Jews should accept the days of Purim as not only Simcha Mishta but also Yontiv. Bolobasov, later on in the Megillah, when it describes the acceptance of the Jewish people, it says, Lasos also you may Mishta v'Simcha, but Yontif is left out. So the Chachmei Emes want to suggest that why is it the Jews refuse to accept Purim as a day of Yisra Malacha? And here's a twist. Hayu tzrichim las havdola besofa. They would have to make havdola at the end of Purim in order to be matid Yisra Malacha, like we do in the case of Shabbos Yont, l'chein lo kivlo alai. They weren't willing to accept Purim as a day that would have to terminate on Motzi Purim with Havdola. She'ein b'rtzon she'yisrael lasos Havdola miyom d'pura. Purim is such a beloved day, they never wanted to make Havdola from Purim. That's what we say in Yiddish, Hagadz Yom Purim. And this concept that a Jew finds it very difficult to part with a day, a special day, we see it with regard to Purim, but we also see it in regard to Shabbos. In Chai Sarah, Rashi says that when Yitzchak, after the death of Sarah, brings Rivka, his wife, his new wife, into the oil of Sarah, Rashi quotes the Chazal that things that had happened during the time of Sarah with regard to her oil now were reinstated by Rivka. What is this concept that the Ner was Dolik from one Erev Shabbos to next Erev Shabbos? And the answer is that she was so connected to Shabbos. Shabbos is the day of the Neshama Yisera. A person somehow has to end Shabbos and forego his Neshama, enter into the Chol, the days, the secular mundane days of the weekend. It's very challenging because once you enter into the days of Chol, you can be dovek in Yoni Olam. You might get carried away and become one with the lower parts of life. But the challenge is take the Or of Shabbos, and it should light up the person in his neshama for the days of Chol that follow the Shabbos, so that he doesn't get nidbak b'ra u'b'inyonei ha'olam hazeh. And that's what Sarah was able to do. Sarah went down to Mitzrayim, and all the experiences that she had there, she was exposed to such ra, such evil, but lo nidbak b'davar, because she had the skula, that power, that spiritual immunity system of Ner Dolik Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos, her tzidkus, her extreme piety and righteousness, that she was able to take the Shabbos and have it flow and bridge to the next Shabbos, that would protect her from Chol. That's why she wasn't impacted Lira during her period in Mitzrayim. And in a similar way, we want to take the special achievements in spirituality of Purim, and we want to take that with us throughout the year. We don't want to separate. We don't want to make Avdol on Motzi Purim. And women don't get drunk on Purim because, you know, that's not sneistic. There is an interesting minhag on part of women not to do molacha avoda on Motzi Shabbos. And maybe that too is an expression of the fact that we don't want to leave the Shabbos. We want to take the Shabbos with us. We want to see to it that the Kedushas of Shabbos will be projected and will project our souls and our spirits for the entire week to come. And there is a minhag that women should not drink from the coast of Havdalah, because they have a hamshacha, they pull and extend the Kedusha Shabbos even more than the men do, and therefore they don't want to drink from the Koshal Avdolah. And this is all based on the oil of Sar Imenu, and ultimately of Rivka Imenu, that the Ner was Dolik Me'er of Shabbos L'Shabbos, Himshichu Kedusha Shabbos Mishabbos L'Shabbos, therefore they didn't want to drink from the coast of Havdolah. This was a remez that Etzlam, as far as the women is concerned, the Shabbos would continue even beyond Motzei Shabbos. And that's also the minhag that women have of lighting candles on Motzei Shabbos to keep that ner dolek mishabbos l'shabbos. It's interesting that there is a minhag, which is quoted by Reb Tzadok Milublin, that the children on Purim are involved in minei schok, a kind of levity, kind of joking around. And that's the minhag. Uminig Yisrael Torah, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, this is Torah, that's a minhag. And he quotes a pasuk, Yoshev Bashamayim Yisrak Hashem Yilag Lomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is in a jovial mood, kaviyochol. And we're really following in Hashem's footsteps. Interesting, in the story of Balaila Hu Nodad Hashnas HaMelech, after Haman gives that Eitzah of what to do, Lemisha Melech Chavetz Bikor, it says, Al Tapel Davar Mikol Asher Dibarta. And in Chassidus, in the Imrei Noam, for Purim, he sees a deeper meaning in this pasuk, Al Tapel Davar Mikol Asher Dibarta, as a remez, that even though during the course of the year, with the exception of Purim, if a person wants to speak Dvarim B'Telim, if he wants to joke around what we would call Leitzonus, that's not acceptable. And those Diburim are Nefila, which means we fall into the hands of the Sitra Achra through those Diburim of Leitzonus and Dvarim B'Telim. But with regard to Purim, we have an exception to that rule. And the days of Purim, if he jokes around and his kavanah's intention is Simchas Purim, here we say that those Diburim will not bring him down, but rather part of the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. And Al Tapel Davar Mikol Asher, nothing that you speak about will fall, will have an afila, will cause an afila. Bilvad, of course, with one proviso, and that is Shelo Yedaber Chalila Dvar Avera Nivul Peh, all that has to be left out. But as far as joking around Minei Schok BePurim, that's okay, that's not going to bring to an afila, that's all part of the context of Simchas Purim, if it's done in the right spirit. And the same thing as far as getting drunk on Purim, it has to be done in the right spirit. Chayev Inish Lib Sume Puraya Delo Yodavein Oro Homon Lebaruch Mordechai, not to get too intoxicated, in which you lose your wits about you. And in fact, the Ramah is in favor of not getting drunk, but just drinking more than he usually does till he falls asleep. And the Bir Alochin, in the name of the Meiri, says Adlo Yoda, quoting the Meiri, says Chayev Adam LaHarvos B'Simcha B'Yom Zeh B'Chiluv Shesia Ad Shelo Yichase Shum Dover Mikom Mekom Ein Ono Mitzuvim L'Histaker of Shichrus L'Histaker U'LaHafchis Atzmenu, to lower ourselves Mitoch HaSimcha. People do crazy things. Purim could become a dangerous day. It's got to be Simcha Shal Tainuk Sheyagia Mitoch La'avas Hashem Yisparach V'Hodol Anisim Shal Salon. The goal of whatever level of intoxication one achieves is to bring to Ava Hashem, to recognize and acknowledge thanks, express thanks and gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the great miracles. The Rambam requires that the Suda should be eaten with Shtiyas Yayin, Ad Shishtaka V'Yidorein B'Shikruso. And the Yad Ephraim is famous for saying in Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch HaShulchan also quotes him in Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Hei, Chayev Lishtos Ad Delo Yoda, Ad V'Lo Ad B'Chlal. Which means that according to the Yad Ephraim, one should not get totally intoxicated. Meaning there's no obligation to get drunk, but drink enough to get to that brink, so to speak, but not to cross that brink. And it's very interesting that al pichsidu, some say chayv adam libsume bipurahi, which means he should be intoxicated with Purim itself. He's so infused with happiness and excitement that he loves Purim, all that it represents, the miracles, the avas Hashem, the dveikus Hashem. He's intoxicated with Purim. And that's why, as we said earlier, a person is so wild about Purim that he would never ever want to separate himself from Purim. That's why they didn't accept Isa Malacha with Avdola on Motzi Purim. That's the Chayiv on Inish Lipsume Bipuraya with Purim. He's lovesick about Purim. And the Maril actually quotes this Yad Ephraim Lahalacha in a different sort of way. Again, not crossing the brink to total intoxication, but rather, what does it mean, Lishtaker? He says that Baruch Mordechai and Orhoman have the same gematria, Ubekal. It's very easy to get to that level where he's not absolutely lucid to make these mathematical calculations. V'toel l'chavim minyonim. If he asked them to come up with a number for each of these, Orhoman and Baruch Mordechai, he would not be able to do so. Then he was Yotze Yischiv, and the Magen Avraham quotes this Lalacha. Yishta Yosef Milimudo, he writes, Yesh Omrim Delo Yeda, he gets to the point where he cannot know Lachshov to calculate Sha'or Haman Begematria Baruch Mordechai. And perhaps we can give another twist to this whole concept of Simchas Purim. What is the nature of Simchas Purim? And by analogy, perhaps taking the case of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a great day of Simcha. In fact, all we have on Shmini Atzeres is Ach, is just plain genuine 100% Simcha. No other mitzvahs accompany us on Shmini Atzeres. And the Rosh Hashiva of Tar V'Das, Rav Avraham Shor Shlita, in his book Halekach V'Libuv, regarding Simcha on Shmini Atzeres, he tells us that Bnei Yisrael are the chosen nation. Shmini Atzeres is that one day which is Miyuchad, Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the great Simcha, Vayisa Ach Sameach. And the Ach here is Lamait Kol HaUmos. We are left in privacy with a yichud in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Simcha of Shmini Atzeres. It comes from the fact that there's a Havdolah here, there's a conscience between Klal Yisrael and the other nations of the world. Shmini Atzeres was completely separated from the nations of the world. And the Lekach V'Libuv quotes a sefer called Yisod Yosef that discourages a Jew having any communication with a goy on Shmini Atzeres. Stay away. We cut ourselves off from the nations around us because the essence of our simcha is our unique relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim. He has chosen us from the nations. Smechem B'Torah. We attach Simchas Torah to Yom Hashmini Hatzeres Hazeh, because it's through the Torah that we are separated from the nations and chosen. Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim Nasan as Torah. So the Torah is Mavdilas Yisrael Amim, and that is the Choma, so to speak, the Machitza between the Umas Olam and Klal Yisrael, which is the essence of our Simcha on Shmini Atzeres. And the Nusach of the Davening of Yontif, Hatabachar Tonim Mikol HaAmim, Haftol Son of Ratzisa Bonaram, Tonim Mikol Shonis, Kiddushon Mitzvosov, This is a remnant to all the Moadim. The Simchas HaMoadim is number one, Atav Chartanu. That's true for all Moadim. On Pesach, it's Ahav Tol Son of Ratzisa Banu. And that's the Yisrarusa Deliela, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and He chose us because we weren't on a level to choose Him. On Shavuos, it's V'kidashtara Mitzosecha, Nasa Lorasatara Tayyim Mitzosel, V'sukkos, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu inviting us into His Dira, V'kerev Tadam Al-Kenei L'Avodasecha, that's the Kiruv. And then after all the Moadim, the entire Seder that begins with Pesach, continues with Shavuos and concludes with Sukkos, then comes Shmini Atzeres. Then it's V'shimcha Agolav HaKadosh Olenu Karasa. And that's the Torah that's completely made up of Shemos Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Sfas Emes is famous for saying that Olenu Karasa Miloshen Kriya V'chiba. When you call to someone, you summon to someone that you love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechabe V'osanu. Through the Torah Kedosha, that's the Chiba Yisera Shenodas Lanu. That's what Shmini Atzeres is all about. And the Shem Hashem Anu Nikroim B'Shem Hashem through the Torah Anu Dveikim Hashem. That's the completion of the Bechira of Klal Yisrael Yatav Achartanu, and therefore Shmini Atzeres is the Shlemus of all Simcha. And perhaps by analogy, we can extend this idea and define the Simcha of Purim, because the Gemara tells us in Shabbos in the famous Sugya of Kabbalah Satoran Daf Peiches Amar Rava Afal Pichein Hoder Kiblu B'Meach Hashveiros. Even though at the time of Har Sinai we accepted the Torah by compulsion, the Har Kigigas, but nevertheless, when it came to the Klali, so at the time of Hashveiros, it says Kimu VeKiblu HaYehudim. Says Rava Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar. It was a Kabbalah Satorah B'Simcha, and perhaps that defines the essence of Simchas Purim. It's, in a sense, analogous to Simchas Shmini Atzeres. Through the Torah, what becomes clear and what becomes revealed is the contrast, the difference between Klal Yisrael and the other nations. The Atav HaKartanu, that Bnei Yisrael are really in the Bechina of, as Haman called it, Yeshna Am Echad, but what we mean by Echad, Am Echad, is with Dveikim Hashem Echad. And that's the essence of the Jewish people. That separates us from the nations of the world. That's the Atav HaKartanu. That's the Simcha of Purim. When we become totally aware of our unique nature and the separation between us and the Amim. And Rav Tzadok HaKonin is pre-Tzadok on Purim, quotes the Medrash that says about Yeshno Am Echad, that Haman came with a Hotzah Shemra, so to speak, on Klal Yisrael when he said Am Echad. He says that these are the people that eat and drink and say they're doing so for Onik Shabbos, for Onik Yontif, and he makes fun of the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, according to the Medrash Rabbah, on that pasuk Yeshno Am Echad, Rasha, Atamapil Ayin Rab Moadehem, you don't forgive them the way they observe their Moados, Ani Mapilcha Lifnehem Umosifim Lehem Moad Echad Amapilascha. You're going to fall, and as a result, in the aftermath of your Hapala, I will add to their Moedim, I will add the day of Purim. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, what was it about the Moedim that irked Haman so much with his Ayin of Ra? He couldn't accept the concept that this Kedusha, this sanctity, in the Lochem, in the Achila, and the Shasi of Yontif, the Hanos HaGuf, because for him, Hanos HaGuf was an end unto itself. And in essence, what we find here in Haman HaGogi is really just the development of the shorish of the root of the Nochash HaKadmoni that seduced Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Kitova HaEitz LeMara V'Taivi Le'Nayim, etc., the concept of Taiva. And the Gemara in Chulin says, "Haman min haTorah minayin, haMinah Eitz." which is a reference to the Chet HaKadmon that was brought about by the seduction of the Nachash. And there it says in the parasha of Eitz Hadas, Kasher Tzivisicha Lebilti Achol Mimenu Achalto. What does it mean? You ate from the Eitz Hadas? That's the shoresh of this klipa, the klipa of Haman, of just enjoying pleasure for the sake of pleasure. That becomes the end in itself, as opposed to a Jew who understands that eating is a means to elevate, to take a physical act, a pleasurable act, and make it into an act of Kedusha. And that's where Purim comes in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, you know what? Haman, your hashkaf will go down. That will be the hapol of Haman. And in its place will come the extra moed of Purim, which is chayav inish lipsume b'puraya d'lo yoda. It means that through shikrus, through getting drunk in yayin, and d'lo yoda, that's where the pnimius of Kedushas Yisrael is going to be revealed, is going to come to the fore, it's going to emerge. That even though we dedicate ourselves on Purim, to Seudas Purim with Hanas Achil and Shesia, nevertheless the Kedusha that's inherent in every Jew and defines his spiritual essence is going to come to the fore. And the Gemara says, Sanhedrin Agbru Chamra Dardaki. And even with regard to Dardaki, young children, is Nichnas Yayin Yotzes Sod. And the Gemara says, in Erevin Shloshet Dvarim Adam Nikar Bekoso, a Jew is Nikar in the way he drinks, because through his Shikrus, when his das is taken away, then dafka, nikar, nizbarer, now it becomes clear, and these are the words of the pre-tzaddik, ha-hevdel shel kedushas yisrael li'amim. This is what Purim is all about. Of course, we saw this in the case of Shmini Atzeres, but now we see it in the case of Purim, that a klal yisrael, even binyone hanos ha-olam yesh pnimius kedusha, inside this kedusha, that's what's at the heart of it. That's what's concealed. And I'd like to end with the insight of Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Mashgiach of Tor V'Das in Amunas Itecha on Purim. And he writes that the Bechin of Klal Yisrael, that every single Jew has a certain Ava, which is benistar for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hidden in even the Rishoyim who violate the Mitzvah of Torah. Nevertheless, many times throughout Jewish history, when it came to the challenge of Chas V'Shalom, of Kfira and Amuna, they were Moser Nafshon, they were willing to die on Kiddush Hashem, because that Nekuda Pnimis was aroused within them. And that's what the famous Rambam in Hilchas Gerushin about Kofenos HaChiyom Erotzani, because the Eitz Ahara doesn't allow the true inner depths of a person, his will and his desire to fulfill the will of God, to come forward. And when we beat him up a little bit, and we beat down the Yetzer Hara, then Mizgala Rotzon Amiti, it's a revelation of his true will, of that Nekuda Pnimis of every Jew, that he wants to fulfill the will of Hashem. And just as every Jew has this inner, hidden love for God, then reciprocally God has a love for every single member of Klal Yisrael, even though sometimes it's an Ava Musteres. And that's what the Navi declares, Ahavti Eschem, Omar Hashem. V'amartem b'meh avtonu, halo ach Esav li'Yakov, but v'oev es Yaakov es Esav sanesi. And once again, Reb Tzadok HaKohen explains that there are times in which, b'avonoseinu harabim, the actions of the descendants of Yaakov are similar to those of Esav. And sometimes you don't see, it's not absolutely clear, the difference between the Jew and the non-Jew. And on that it says, the Navi says, Bameav Tanu, halo ach Esav li Yaakov. And superficially it would seem to the naked eye on the outside as if domim zelazeh. Esav is the ach of Yaakov. We don't see the difference. But becholzos, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch declares, vi oev es Yaakov es Esav sanesi. And why is that? because Yaakov Bachalo Yah Yisrael Sgulaso Hashem has chosen the nation of Israel, and deep down inside within every Jew in his heart and his soul is this very strong spark of Avas Hashem, of a desire to be Dovik Bishchina. And it's interesting that Ach Esav Liyakov has the same gematria as V'ahavta Liyakov, Avas Yaakov. And the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Megillah says that Chayev Ish L'Bsumei B'Puraya means that he won't be able to tell the difference between the gematria of Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And according to our Derech, what it means is that some people in Israel, when we look at them, it's not Nikaret, some we cannot tell the difference between the Or Haman and the Baruch Mordechai in the Jew. But according to the Pritzadik that we mentioned before, Halo Ach Esav LiYaakov, that's what it means when we say Or Haman is equal into Gematria to Baruch Mordechai. That's only in the numbers. The Hashva, the equation, the analogy, is only a matter of Gematria. There is a Shaychus between these two things. There is a similarity. And we look at this one in Eats, and we look at the Jew in Eats. But nevertheless, on a deeper level, one is Or and one is Baruch. And that's what Purim is all about. It's the Bechina of the Goral, the poor. It's called Al Shem HaPur, which is Mavdil, which separates between the two Seirim on Yom HaKippur. One is Lashem and one is Azazel. Two things that are identical and they look the same to the naked eye, but they're fundamentally different. That's what Purim is all about. That's the Hivdilonu Mikol HaAmim. That's when we appreciate on Purim, through the drunkenness, through the intoxication, the difference between a Jew and a Goy. Because when we get drunk, it's in order to reveal that pnimius of Ava, of Dveikus and Hashem. This is the idea of drinking. And we get together, we loosen up the barriers between Jews, and we unite, and we have an achdus, a unity. That's going to be the Kiddush Hashem of drinking. Not chas v'sholem to get to the point of holus and shtus and do things that are crazy, but rather it's a simcha of the neshama, it's a simcha of dveikus belokus, to forget about and sever, if you will, the connection to olam hazeh, and in a sense to reach the level of dveikus the neshama with the olam ruchni elyon, when we get close to the higher worlds. And just like in Tefillah, the Chassidim and Anshei Maisa, as the Shulchan Aruch says it in Siman Tzariches, reach a level of Hispashtus Agashmius. That's what we want to achieve, all of us on Chag HaPurim. And this is the Nafochu, that we appreciate Evel Yontif, the Simcha Gedola of the Nes of Purim. We can achieve that level of simcha v'spashtus hagashmis. That's the simcha. The simcha is when we understand and we appreciate on a deeper level that even though Or Haman and Baruch Mordechai have the same gematria, but that's only on the mathematical, superficial level. But on a deeper level, he's Or and we're Baruch. And that's the great simcha of Bachar Bonu Mikol Am Hivdilonu, the Avdolah between us and the Jew and the nations of the world. That's what we strive for. That's what we want to indicate and reveal. That's what we want to appreciate on Purim. That's what giving up our das is all about. We spoke about giving up our das, adelo yoda. It means to get to a higher level of das, which is not some sort of intellectual analysis of tov and ra, but rather something above that. Kodem achet, the level of Das Kodem Lachet, which is a level of Emunah that goes beyond a certain powerful Emunah in which we are metaken the Chet of Hamina Eitz. And that's the Argudel of Purim, the Argudel which is an intense light that allows us and facilitates the revelation to reveal the Matmonio, something that's deep down inside, the Chelek HaGonuz, the Adam, that which is hidden, And that's what it means that we are Magala, the Ad Lo Yoda, that means Nefesh of a Jew, which is Lo Yada, which is not Yodua, which is sometimes Ganus. That's what we want to reveal. That's the Nichnas Yayin Yotze Sod. Purim gives a person a koach to be Magala, that Sod that's within him, those amazing kohos. This is a day of Simcha, this is a day of Ava, this is a day in which a man appreciates himself, and instead of dwelling on his negatives, he can dwell on his positives. This is going to reveal those kohos gedolim hatmunim b'leva adam lotziam, to bring them out to the light of the argodol of Purim. And in that sense, we will achieve in Mirtz Hashem this Purim, together with all of Klal Yisrael, a tremendous simcha. We should be zocha to the Yeshua, our Amuna, and our good and trustworthy friend, our patron, our Kodesh Baruch Hu, will become so intense that in Mirtz Hashem we'll see shortly, in our time, Hashem protecting us, elevating us, bringing about a kibbutz golios, and the end of days, the Geula Shlema, the Bias Goel, Moshiach Tzidkenu, the ultimate purpose of the Bria will be fulfilled, and it'll be clear, Biyomahu, Kein Yiratzon. Amen.